Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, in humility, Father, we would come and approach thy throne of grace and glorify thy name and just simply thank thee for all that thou dost do for us day by day. And Lord, now we come into thy sanctuary and thank thee for this time, as we do feel it is a sanctuary, a place where we can be focused upon thy word and free, Lord, from the distractions and the duties of life. And so we just pray that thou grant grace for us to redeem this time, to be, Lord, found, Lord, diligent, Lord, to pay attention, Father, to what thy Spirit would speak to us. This we do ask and pray it in him who has made all things possible, Jesus Christ. Amen. For this evening's reading, let's turn to the book of Matthew and read from chapter number 8, the first 17 verses.
Nazaj Evanđelje po Mateju, 8. glava, 1. 17. brojeva.
When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when he was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
God in heaven, we kneel before thee in this evening. As we have assembled together in this midweek, what a blessing it is for us, O Lord, to have an opportunity to break away from the busyness in life and the distractions, which are many, to come together in thy house and gather together with our brothers and sisters and our children and our friends to meditate upon thy word. And Lord, as we have opened thy word, O Lord, we are comforted with the promise of thy presence, that thou art with us as we have gathered in thy name. And we pray, O Lord, for thy that we would feel thy presence by acknowledging where we are, and Lord, that our hearts would not be overcome and overwhelmed by other things, O Lord, but our focus would be upon thy word. And therein, O Lord, will we feel the power that is even described in this chapter that we have read, O Lord, as thou hast concluded the great Sermon on the Mount, in which no higher ethic has ever been given, and thou, Lord, are now establishing that as thou hast given us a way of life, that thou hast also shown us that the power is in thee. As thou art demonstrating the power in this chapter, O Lord, that we have read of thy what thou art able to fulfill and do, and that in thee, O Lord, we will lack nothing. But yet also, O Lord, the thought comes to our minds of which thou hast taught and said that without thee we can do nothing. And so we pray, O Lord, that our full trust would always be in thee. Many things happen in our life, O Lord, that will create anxiety in us and questions and fears and tremblings. And Lord, but help us to direct all our submission and will unto thee, that thou, Lord Jesus, will give us a way to go through whatever trial and hardship and tribulation that we may face. O Lord, we kneel before thee, and together we have heavy hearts for the dear Dalic family in Serbia, who has suffered the loss of their mother, their sister and daughter, a dear friend and sister in the Lord. And Lord, quiet the hearts that are full of fear and pain, and Lord, fill the voids that only thou art able to do. Reveal thyself to each soul who has been touched and moved and by her passing on from this life unto thee. We know, Lord, that there is no comfort that can be found anywhere but in thee. And so we call upon thee, O Lord, that we would always look to thee for instruction and guidance and comfort in whatever trial would beset us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that I would impress deeply upon those who do not know thee yet the brevity of life, how brief we are here, that even the 20 or 30 years that we may think that we have, how quickly it passes. O Lord, and their days are uncertain, and we see, O Lord, again, that it is just a vapor that is here today, and it wisps away, and it's gone, and the memory of it is even gone very soon. But, O Lord, eternity awaits us, an eternity that thou, Lord, has come to establish and give us a way to thy heart, to the Father's heart through thee, Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. We pray that we would always look into thee and to thy ways, learn of thee, of who thou art, Lord Jesus, and that we would submit our lives unto thee and our hearts and walk in thy footsteps and love thee with all our mind, heart, and soul, and our neighbor as ourself, and thereby, O Lord, we would fulfill the perfect law that thou hast left in the Sermon on the Mount. So bless our coming together this evening. We pray that thou hast blessed the word that we have read, and the brother, as he would speak from it, thou would give unto him the utterance that he would be able to speak things that are eternal, that can only come from thy word. And bless our coming together, bless us one and all. Be thou with us, and all who couldn't come together with us, O Lord, we pray for each soul, and ask, O Lord, that all who call upon thee would feel thy presence, and it's that promise that thou hast given us. So, Lord, may we always have our hearts quieted and stilled, knowing that thou art the great God, one who has loved us with a love that thou hast described, O Lord, as the same love that the Father has loved thee with. May we never doubt thy love, but may we immerse ourselves into that love which leads us into liberty. Abide thou with us, bless us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus was speaking with his disciples at one point and was telling them that he was going away. He was going to his Father, and that he was not going to leave them comfortless, but he was going to provide a comforter. And that comforter we know to be the Holy Spirit. And so that Holy Spirit was left here upon this earth to direct us, and he gives us the knowledge and the recollection of the Scriptures, that we might remember those things which Jesus has spoken. And so we trust in that Spirit, and we look to Jesus, and we look to his Word and his Spirit to guide us. And then as his Spirit guides us, we bear fruit. We heard a little bit about that fruit last Sunday, and the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. And so one of the fruit of the Spirit that is listed there, and we're thankful again for the Scriptures that give us this knowledge, is that as we live out this life that we live in the Spirit, that one of that fruit that is displayed is a fruit of faith, having faith in the Almighty God. And so we also see in the Scriptures that the Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith. For we must believe that he is, meaning that he exists, that he is eternal, that he is above all, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so we must have faith in our lives. It must be a fruit that is displayed as we exercise ourselves in the Spirit. This faith needs to be evident, and we need to have it in order for us to please God, because the Scripture is making it clear that without faith we cannot please God. We cannot. No matter what else we have, it will not make up for a lack of faith. And so we have to have faith in God and who he is in order for us to please him. And so we read this evening a portion of Scripture where, as we prayed together, the Lord had just given beautiful, beautiful words. Words that no philosopher or no one else could have ever brought. Words of life. And we come to know who the Lord is, and we have a broader and a deeper understanding of this life of faith that the Lord is calling us to. And so he had just finished these words, and he spoke to them of all these things, and he had ended these sayings. And when he had ended these sayings, it says that a great multitude followed him. And now he was going to do some work. He had finished his words, and now he is going to do some work. And so Jesus says to Philip at one point in time, says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself." The words that came there on the Sermon of the Mount, those were the words of God. And Jesus is saying here, "The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." And now there's these works that are being done that Jesus is doing, God working in him, as a deity himself, as part of the Trinity. And then he continues on to Philip and says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me or have faith for the very work's sake." So, there's the Sermon on the Mount, beautiful teachings, wonderful to be understood, more wonderful to be lived out. And then he's saying here that he's doing these works, and for the works that he is doing, we can believe. We can believe because of the works that he has done. And so we read here now this evening of the work that Jesus Christ has done. And because of this, we come to know and understand and believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and that through him we might have salvation. So he comes off the mountain, and a great multitude's following him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Here was this leper who had lived a terrible life, one that was in solitude because he couldn't have anybody in his presence lest they should contract the leprosy, and ostracized and declared unclean. He'd had a horrible existence up until now, but yet he knows that this is the Son of God. He has this faith. He believes in Jesus. And so he says, he makes a statement, not a question, but a statement, says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He had this faith. And so he was living out this fruit of the Spirit of faith. He was believing that God exists, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And he was pleasing God by this faith that he had, that Jesus was in fact the Son of God, and that Jesus had the capacity to heal him of this leprosy, though perhaps up to this point it may have never been done before, if this was early enough in Jesus' ministry. And so this leper had faith. It was an example of living out a faith in something that's impossible with man, but possible with God. And so Jesus put forth his hands and touched him and says, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. A fulfillment of faith. There was now a manifestation, a reality comes about because this leper had faith. He believed. He believed in something that was greater than himself. He believed in the Lord. And his faith, his belief, was rewarded. And he was immediately cleansed of his leprosy. So Jesus says to him, "See, thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." He says, tell no man. Tell no man. You have been rewarded. Your faith has been rewarded. And you have received that of your faith. And so that was one example of a work here that Jesus did after he had spoken this Sermon on the Mount. And so the Bible here then says, "And when he was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Here's a soldier, or a centurion, one who has 100 soldiers reporting to him, and he's coming to Jesus. He's coming in faith. He's believing of what Jesus can do. Perhaps, as the previous chapter concludes, it says the people were astonished at his doctrine. They were so astonished at his doctrine and his authority that he had, that surely if this man or the Son of God here has this much wisdom to proclaim this message of truth so profoundly, then certainly he has power as well. Physical power to heal physically. And so this centurion had this faith likewise that Jesus would be able to heal his servant. And so he petitions the Lord, "My servant lieth home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And so Jesus says, "I will come and heal him." Jesus willing to now do the work of the Lord, to do what his Father had sent him to do, to be about his Father's business. But the centurion responds to the Lord and says, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Again, this centurion, just like the leper, this centurion had a faith, a deep and abiding faith, that Jesus didn't have to come all the way to his house. All he would have to do is just simply speak the word only, and it would happen. He had that faith. Jesus just had to speak the word. Jesus would never have to see that servant. Jesus would never have to come physically into his presence, but Jesus simply had to speak the word. That's what the centurion's faith was, and that servant would be healed. Not partially, but fully healed. All that grievous torment that he was experiencing, the results of the living up with that palsy would all be healed if Jesus would simply speak the word. That's the abiding faith that this centurion had. And he speaks and he says, "For I am a man under authority," or having authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, come, and he comes, and to this man, go, and he goes, and to this man, do this, and he does it. They were just saying here that he's one as having that Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And here the centurion was one as having authority too. And so he's saying, all you have to do is speak the word and it'll be done. But to a greater extent than what the centurion's word would result in. And so when Jesus hears this, he marvels. He marvels. And he turns to the multitude that followed him down the mountain. He turns to them and he makes this moment. He makes it a special moment. And he provides this teaching opportunity. And he says, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Jesus didn't find that faith in Israel. It wasn't in Ananias the high priest. It wasn't in Nicodemus. It wasn't in others that knew, that were doctors of the law. It wasn't in them. But here it was. It was in a soldier. Or in the centurion. And so Jesus tells this multitude, "Verily I say unto you," this is very important, he's saying, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so this centurion was lauded for his faith. And so Jesus says, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Why would the children of the kingdom be cast out into darkness, outer darkness? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it doesn't matter the heritage. It doesn't matter if they were children of Abraham. They did not have faith. And so they would be cast out into outer darkness. And so Jesus says to the centurion, "Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." As thou hast believed. We are challenged in our lives also that as we believe, so shall it be done unto us. As we believe in the power of God, so shall it be done unto us. To that level, if we limit God, his power is going to be limited to us. If we know that with God all things are possible and that he can do that which would be far above our asking, and we have complete assurance and belief in that, that if it can be according to his will, he will provide it in an abundant measure, it will be done unto us. His word teaches us that. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. The servant was healed because the centurion had believed with great faith, with a great faith. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And so it was. Jesus coming down off the mountain heals a leper. Then he heals a centurion's servant who's grievously tormented, sick of the palsy. And then now he heals Peter's mother-in-law, who just simply has a fever. And so this is another lesson of faith that we can derive here from this scripture as well, from these verses, these simple two verses, that Jesus cares. The Lord cares for us. And so whether it is something great, magnanimous, that we're going through, that if we have faith, God will provide for that. And then when it be something small that we're going through, we can have faith. God will provide for that too. He cares for us in these small things as well. That Jesus would even heal Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. And then we read some these two closing verses, 16 and 17, where the Bible says, "And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick." With his word, he cast out these evil spirits. There's more being brought to him in the evening. They'd spent a lot of time together, and they're hearing that Jesus is in town, and so they're just bringing those that have evil spirits, bringing those that were sick, bringing them all to Jesus. And Jesus is simply casting out these evil spirits, and Jesus is healing physically all those that were brought to him. He healed them all. And then it says, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This was a fulfillment of a prophecy that was given to Isaiah. And again, Isaiah would have loved to have, we read that verse last Sunday, where the prophets and righteous men have longed to see those things which the disciples saw and to hear those things which the disciples heard but have not seen or heard them. And Isaiah was one that perhaps had all these prophecies but yet never saw what Jesus had done. But yet he prophesied, Isaiah prophesied and said, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And so as Jesus is there in town at the close of the day, and it's evening, and they're being brought to him, those that had evil spirits and those that had all manner of sicknesses, they were healed, every one. He bore their sickness. He bore their sickness. But Peter, in his epistle, says, speaking of Jesus, who his own self bare our sins. He bore our sins. Isaiah prophesied that he would bear their sicknesses, and that he did. But Peter is saying he bore our sins. Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That's what Jesus did for us. He bore our sin, that we wouldn't have to bear that sin, that we wouldn't have to die for our sin. He bore it for us. Just as he bore their sicknesses, just as he cleansed the leper, just as he cleansed or healed the centurion servant, just as he healed Peter's mother-in-law, just as he healed all those that came to him in the evening of their evil spirits and all their physical ailments that they had, just as he bore all their sicknesses, he now bears all our sin by hanging on the cross and becoming that perfect sacrifice for all mankind throughout all generations, of those that would believe in him, of those that would live that life of faith, that would display that fruit of the Spirit, that would believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we can be pleasing in God's sight. And Jesus can say that he has this man or this woman, as a daughter of God, has the righteousness of Jesus Christ because we believe. These people here all had to have belief. The centurion, the leper, Peter's mother-in-law, those that came to him, they believed, and it was done unto them according to their faith. And so it is that as we live out our life of faith, as we go through our existence in this life, that we would live out that fruit of the Spirit of having faith in an almighty God who can do all things. And this is why we can have faith. This is why we can have faith in the Almighty God, because as Jesus said, with God, with men, these things are impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And so that's why we can have an abiding faith, an anchored faith in God, because with Him, all things are possible. There is nothing too great that God cannot do, and there is nothing too small that God wouldn't bother with. And so we can have faith in Him. We can have faith in Him in all these things. Now, we need to be sincere in our walk of faith, in our life as we live it out as a believer in Jesus Christ. There are times when we come short of living out the fruit of the Spirit in perfection. There are times when perhaps some of the fruit of the Spirit is not adequately displayed in our lives. And so as the one man there that was asking, well, one man there in the gospel stories that had a son that was grievously tormented and asked his disciples to heal him and they couldn't. And so Jesus asked him, "Do you have faith?" And this man responds saying, "Lord, I believe, I have faith, but help my unbelief. Help me when that's lacking." And so likewise in our lives that we know by theology that truly God can do all things. God can do all these things. We have that knowledge, but sometimes when we have a specific situation going on in our lives that we think that, well, but God might not do this or God won't do this. And so we lack sometimes the faith that God is asking us to have. And when those times come, let's simply be sincere. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And so we can please God by having this faith, by living out what God would have us to believe, that all things through Him are possible. That chapter goes on, and there's more things that Jesus had done. He'd calmed the storm as they were out there on the water in a ship. And then He also healed that man that had the legion of devils in him. He had done all these things. And so we can see that Jesus brought forth the Word of God, and then He had done the works of God. And they go together. And we can see that they go together. And because of that, Jesus is saying, Believe for those works' sake. Have faith. Believe that I am the Son of God. If we believe, then God will call us His sons and His daughters. He will give us the power to become His sons and His daughters when we believe in Him. So we read of miracles. We read of even signs that Jesus had done while He was here upon this earth. And John concludes His gospel by saying, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book." We read of a leper that was cleansed. We read of the centurion's servant. We read of Peter's mother-in-law. We read of all those that were brought to Him in the evening, that evil spirits were cast out and they were healed of their physical infirmities. We read of those. But certainly there were other things that Jesus did that aren't written here. But that doesn't cause our faith to wane or to be less. And so John says, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book." He says, "But these are written that ye might believe, that ye might have faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, having faith, ye might have life through His name." May God grant unto us that we might display that fruit of the Spirit of faith. Amen.
Thank you.
wonderful account of the miracles that Jesus began to perform. And what really is striking is when we read this, and this is for you, our dear friends, our young ladies and young men, it says here that many were brought to Jesus. And you know, he didn't turn anyone away. He never turned anyone away. Everyone who sought to be healed was healed. Everyone who had the faith that Jesus would heal them, he did. He turned no one away. A leper came to him, a leper who was outside the camp. A Gentile came to him who was outside of the covenant. He didn't turn them away. The leper would have had to have come with his mouth covered, unclean, unclean, and people would just clear the path for him because they can't touch him. He came to Jesus, and it says here that he called him Lord. This is the first time that anyone called Jesus Lord. His disciple called him Lord after the resurrection, after he put his fingers in his scars. He says, "My Lord and my God," but this leper calls him Lord. Did he hear the Sermon on the Mount? It's very possible he did. He heard where Jesus said, "Why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and doest not the things that I have commanded you to do?" Well, he comes to him and calls him Lord. In full submission that he will do what he says. And Jesus didn't turn him away. It says he did what no priest would ever have done. He touched him. Any priest that touched him would have had leprosy. And he healed him. But it also tells us here that Jesus marveled at the centurion's faith. In Mark, Gospel of Mark 6:6, he says, he marveled because of their unbelief. That's the only time that Jesus ever marveled. He marveled at the unbelief. If you, my dear friend, do not believe, don't have the faith that you can believe and he would save you, if you don't want to give your life to him, Jesus marvels at you. He doesn't understand why. Why he's giving you life, healing, and you don't want it. As the brother referenced to this last verse, 17, the root cause, and it was identified, anyone had leprosy was probably had some kind of a sin, sickness. Well, sickness is the root of sin. Now, that doesn't mean for us in our individual lives. No, I'm not saying that. But sickness, its root is found in sin in the garden. That's where sickness came from. And Jesus came to take our infirmities and to deal with the root cause. And that is sin in our lives. To take it away. To take it away from us. To give us pure healing. Life. He turned no one away, my dear friend. And those who were outside the covenant, he didn't turn them away. In another gospel, it says that centurion actually built the synagogue for the Jews. He loved the Jews, though he was a Roman. And here he displays his faith in Jesus. And dear ones, that's all Jesus wants to see from us. It's for us to display our faith in him, and he will make us whole. May we each take from this a beautiful account of Scripture that we read of the miracles that Jesus began to perform, and be comforted in knowing that it's simply on us, that we would yield ourselves. As Paul says, Christians have sicknesses and diseases, and he says, we're just waiting for the redemption of our body. That's it. We're waiting for that time when Jesus will come and take us home. Amen.